The topic I picked, I'm going to get into some weeds a bit, but it's interesting because we just heard in-house counsel talk about patent agents and privilege, and that is one of the issues I'm going to be focusing in on. The other thing that was mentioned, the reason I chose this topic is because I think it is going to matter to all of you, and by that I mean this. If you are worried about costs and you're using patent agents, this is a topic of importance. If you do transactional work, if you do litigation, if you know in-house counsel, if you are an in-house counsel, these things will matter to you, even though, again, I'm going to be a little bit into the weeds. The one thing that I'll also say that I hadn't really thought about this, but I've been called by three different patent firms asking what to do about this patent agent privilege issue, and I've spent a fair amount of time thinking about it. And then preparing for the paper today, I realized that there are probably some problems that in-house counsel don't realize they're facing that are exactly the same thing that arise in the patent agent context. So you'll see the connection to these things as I go along. Let me tell you what I'm going to talk about. First of all, I'm going to explain real quickly why this matters to all of you, or should matter. Some of it's pretty obvious, I think. I'm going to talk about the choice of law issue, and counsel mentioned it a moment ago. But there is a weird split on the question of what law applies to various privilege issues that come up, but also more narrowly to the question of whether there is a patent agent privilege. That same split also affects the in-house counsel issue that I'm going to talk about. And then I'll talk about the issue of patent agent's privilege, and it's a weird thing because it's going to come down to this. If a patent agent is doing something that he has authority or she has authority to do,